morning, everyone. Could you stand with us this morning? Page number 242 in your big hymnals. This song says, be an overcomer. What does it mean to overcome? To get the better of a struggle or a conflict, conquer, defeat, to prevail over, to overpower, or overwhelm in body or mind. I'm thankful that we can gain victory and that we can be victorious through the week that we have been given. Another day. Page number 242, let's sing it together.
Be an overcomer. Cowards yield when the foe they meet on the battlefield. We are blood-bought princes of the royal host and must falter not, nor desert our foes. And overcome in Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight, and the victor's crown he shall wear at last. Be an overcomer, he who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. In the sorest conflict you shall win the day. Face the legions dark till they flee away. And overcome in Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight, and the victor's crown he shall wear at last. Be an overcomer, you are heaven's heir, and a crown of light you may ever wear. So with courage press the battle to the gate,
till you gain the prize
which in heaven waits. Overcome. Victor's crown he shall wear at last. Verse 4, be an overcomer, forward boldly go. You are strong enough if you count, strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace and to overcome every foe you face. Shall wear at last. Amen. Please remain standing for prayer.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Want to welcome each and every one of you, our visitors. We want you to make yourself right at home. Also, we want to welcome everybody that's joining us via live stream. And we have come to worship the Lord. What did we just sing?
Overcome.
Overcome. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Yes.
Thank God. That's what we're here for. We're here to overcome.
Amen.
We're here to live victoriously. We're here because Jesus pointed his finger at every one of us and said, you and you and you and you and all of you and this gang behind me, we are the light of the world.
That's true.
And the salt of the earth.
Yep.
We are here to show all those out there who are floundering and living aimlessly that they also can overcome the world. Amen. Oh, thank God for his goodness, folks. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Summer, fall, and spring. Did you get it? Summer, fall, and spring. We haven't had winter yet. I know. If I had kept my mouth shut, then it wouldn't hit us like it's going to. But I thank God so far we haven't had really, really bad weather. And after all, God controls all the weather. God controls climate control.
Yes.
God's the one that's got his hand on the thermostat. Not anybody else in this world.
True.
Well, praise the Lord. Okay, want to go to the Lord in prayer. God bless each and every one of you. Sister Bowersock is ill, not able to be here. They were going to come. Also, Sister Farmer's daughter down here has stage 4 cancer. Her other child is very sick as well. Want to remember those needs. Also, we want to remember Sandy Kohler. She was ready for her surgery, but her blood pressure was too high, so they had to cancel it. So we want to pray for Sandy that things will get under control there with her blood pressure. Also, Sister Lewis, Sister Good, have you heard anything further? So she's home now. Oh, wonderful. Okay. All right. All right. We also want to remember Jay Crouch in prayer. We want to remember Sister Vicki Wolf. She's here. Glad to see her this morning. Glad to see everybody this morning. You all look great. Okay, I'll take your burdens by an upraised hand.
Brother Tony.
Yes.
Ron Yates had a heart attack.
Oh, he did.
He's in the hospital.
Ron Yates had a heart attack. Okay, Crothers.
Stephanie Traeger asked for prayer for
her. All right. Stephanie Traeger, we want to remember them in prayer.
Brother Tony.
Yes. Okay.
My sister-in-law
passed away
at the morning.
We'll remember them in prayer.
Okay.
Good to see the Lombatis just got back from Florida. Amen. Sister Polly? Yes, your children in prayer. All right, let's bow our heads. We're going to look to the Lord. Father in heaven, what a blessed privilege it is to be able, still in America, to worship you.
Yes, God.
To worship you in freedom.
Yes, God.
To worship you in the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
To worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we have come this morning to do just that, to express our adoration and our love and our praise.
Yes, Lord.
Because there's no God like our God. Lord, you heard all the burdens that were expressed from the pulpit and from the floor. There's a lot of needs, there's a lot of burdens. You've seen the hands that were raised, and behind each hand, there's a burden. Glad to see Daryl Hudson here this morning. He was in a bad accident. He's recovering, but he's not quite there. We pray that you'll touch his body. We pray, Lord, for every hand that was raised and all the burdens that are behind those hands, that you will look upon them with favor. There's people here that are unsaved. There are people here that are discouraged. There are people here that have all kinds of needs. And there's no greater God to look to than our God, who promised to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. So here we are, Lord, an assortment of all kinds of needs, and we're looking to thee. And we want to thank you for the victory that you've given us again another week. We want to thank you for what you said. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And because you've overcome the world, we can overcome the world. And we want to thank you and praise you. We don't take it for granted. We don't just assume that we'll be able to pull it off every week. Without the grace and the strength, without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So we want to thank you and praise you for victory another week. And oh Lord, as we come, we're in a service we've never been in. And we ask that you will fashion it according to your liking, that the Holy Spirit will outline the program for us this morning. And oh God, when it all comes to an end, it'll culminate in glorifying thy name. Lord, we pray that you'll be with these that are going through a difficult time, Sister Farmer's children, Jay Crouch, Sister Lewis, and the list goes on and on. There was a request for children. And oh God, if there's a burden that lays heavy on the hearts of parents and grandparents, it's for their wayward children. We ask, oh God, that you would visit them wherever they are, however many miles they're away. Let them know that mother and grandmother and the church is praying for them. Let them know that we haven't given up and we haven't let go. Let them know, oh God, that you're a God who so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We just thank you and praise you now for our time together this morning. And we ask, oh God, that you'd have your way in this service, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Ship that sails on the sea of time. The storms may come and the winds may blow and rock this ship of mine, but the reason my ship will never sink and today is still afloat. My compass is his precious word, and Jesus pilots my boat.
I will sail these stormy seas no more, lest Jesus leads the way. I will never drift so far from shore, for hear what he has to say. I belong to the fleet that sails today on the glory. To sail no more, for Jesus pilots my ship.
My soul pulled in safety's port, my stern was torn apart. The bow of my vessel was so badly crushed, since waters had flooded my heart. I had sailed so long on life's angry waves, with my cargo, fear and despair. Then I called on his name, and he lifted the blame. Now he pilots my ship everywhere.
while we take our morning tithes and offerings, if you could, please turn to page number 213. Number 213 in your big hymnals. My heart is fixed on Jesus.
My heart is fixed on Jesus, Son of all my thought. What wondrous work of grace His love within my soul hath wrought. He found me poor and helpless, by every sin oppressed, and died that I might be redeemed and have eternal rest. My heart is fixed on Jesus, no other hope have I could not live without Him, and without Him dare not die. My heart is fixed on Jesus, without Him life is vain. His promises through all my days comfort and sustain.
I love to hear His whisper,
be not afraid, 'tis I. As o'er the stormy sea I sail beneath the clouded sky. My heart is fixed on Jesus, other hope have I. I could not live without Him, and without Him dare not die.
Let's just do just the girls. I want to sing verse number 2 one more time. Just the girls, all right?
My heart is
fixed on Jesus.
Sing it out.
Without Him, life is vain. His promises through all my days to comfort and sustain. I love to hear Him whisper, be not afraid, 'tis I.
Yes.
As o'er the stormy sea I sail beneath the clouded sky.
Guys, help.
My heart is fixed on Jesus, other hope have I. I could not live without Him, and without Him dare not die.
Verse number 3.
My heart is fixed on Jesus, tied to Him belong. For every day He gives me hope,
for every night a song.
Through trial and deep water, His promises are sweet. And sheltered neath His wings of love, I find a safe retreat. My heart is fixed on Jesus, other hope have I. I could not live without Him, and without Him dare not die.
Amen. I had no specials turned in, and perhaps they're working on one in the back. Let's just pray that they're working on one in the back. God has given gifts to the body. And oftentimes that comes through the gift of song. And if God's giving you a voice to sing, He wants to hear your voice. That's how the song said. He wants to hear everyone sing. Especially in times when the trials come. Especially when times come and things don't work out right. When everything seems to be working against you. God wants to hear your voice. And He wants to hear your song. Perhaps they're coming, perhaps they're not. But in whatever happens, we're going to sing page number 265, His Yoke is Easy. Page number 265. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll get it. Hold on. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
I found my Lord and he is mine. He won me by his love. I'll serve him all my years of time and dwell with him above. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Oh, I found it so, I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight, and his blessings ever flow. No other Lord but Christ I know. I walk with him alone. His streams of love forever flow within my heart, his throne. And his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Oh, I found it so, I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight, and his blessings ever flow. He's dearer to my heart than life, and he found me lost in sin. He calmed the sea of inward strife and bade me come to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Oh, I found it so, I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight, and his blessings ever flow. And I've tried the road of sin and found that its prospects all deceive. I've proved the Lord and joys abound more than I could believe. And his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Oh, I found it so, I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight, and his blessings ever flow. All right. Amen.
If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. We're going to read a few verses for our text. Second Chronicles, the 16th chapter. We're going to start with verse 2, drop down to verse 7 through 10. Asa is the king of Judah. And verse 2 in the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles said, "And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasure, out of the treasurers of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus." The king of Judah took the gold and the silver out of the treasury of God, and he gave it to the king of Syria, his enemy. That's still going on today. And then we pick it up in verse 7. "And at that time, Hanani the seer, the man of God, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." Then he says, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen?" They said there was an army the size of a million. "Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. The Supreme Court in June of 2005 outlawed the Ten Commandments from being displayed in our courts and on our government properties throughout America. They outlawed prayer in our schools because they want a completely secular society. But what has been overlooked is that the Ten Commandments did not come out of the mind of men. The Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. And he gave those commandments to Moses to help govern the children of God. He gave those commandments so that humanity would not hurt itself, and men would know how to treat one another. And most of you know that the old law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And the old law was likened to a schoolmaster. In other words, the servants would take the children and they would go with them to school and see that they got to the schoolmaster and to see that they didn't get into any mischief. And the law was not perfect. And in the Old Testament, Christ had not come. The Messiah had not come. The Lamb of God who takes away the whole world had not come yet. But the law was a schoolmaster to just keep the lid on things until we could get to Christ. And when Christ was born, they said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So the law had some purposes. And the law is eternal. It's not going anywhere. And who would want to kill somebody else? Who would want to steal from somebody else? Who would want to bear false witness against somebody else? And yet, because Christ had not come yet, humanity was without strength. They were unable to keep the law to the fullest extent of its purpose. And so the law was given as a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And some think the Ten Commandments are outdated. Not so. These laws are eternal. Do we not understand, and I said all that to say this, do we not understand the wisdom of God in giving us the Ten Commandments? And men were unable to the fullest extent, obey the law, because Jesus said when he came, if a man just has it in his heart to want to kill his brother, he's a murderer. Or if he has it in his heart to want to commit adultery, it's in his heart. So the law was just to hold the lid on things until we could get to Christ, who gave us the strength and the grace and empowered us with his Holy Spirit so that we could fully obey the Ten Commandments. So here in our country, we have a drive to become a secular country. Do we not understand the wisdom of God? Do we not understand that God is trying to protect us? Protect us from one another, from our flesh getting out of control and carnality taking over. And he's also trying to protect you and I from the wrath of God to come on those who heard it. And whoever violated the decree of the Medes and the Persians, that they were thrown in to the lion's den. What did Daniel do? He threw his windows up wide open. The windows that faced Jerusalem, that faced eastward. And he didn't pray just once. And he didn't whisper. He prayed three times a day. And his enemies came and they listened and they heard him praying. And they went to the king and they said he violated the decree. And the king said, well, we got to throw him in the lion's den. And they threw Daniel into the lion's den. But he was faithful to God while he was in the trial. Before the persecution came, he was faithful to God. He knew what the outcome might be. What I'm saying, he loved not his life to the death. The church in America is not even close to that. And short of the grace of God, none of us knows what we'll do. And they threw Daniel into the lion's den. And the Bible says God shut the mouths of the lions. And I'm going to tell you, those lions, they were hungry. They kept them hungry for a reason. And the king wanted to get revenge on those who set him up. And he got those people that were listening to Daniel and set this whole thing up. And he took them and their wives and their children and threw them into the lion's den. And the Bible said they never even hit the bottom of the floor. The lions broke every bone and chewed them up. Now that's a mighty God. And I know you go through trials. And I go through trials. And we all go through trials. It is sad that so many Christians don't hear from God near enough. I hear it often from believers. Why isn't God speaking to me? Why am I always in a mess? Why is there so much drama in my life? You know we're in the right now generation. The media advertisements and entertainments have our teens and young adults in a frenzy to try the new look, the new fad, the new fashion, the new trend, the new video, the new gadget, the new lifestyle. Let me ask you, how many decisions have you made on a whim How many decisions do we make without consulting our God? Did you pray? Did you take it to God? Did you consider your decision in view of what the Bible says? I can't understand why these people who grow up in church all their lives and then they move to a land where there's no church for them to go to. Every decision of any consequence ought to be brought to the Lord. But this generation out here is so jitterbugged up. If they see it, if it's glittering, if it's shiny, if it looks cool, and all of it is a snare that the devil is laying. Did it ever occur to you that is why God gave you parents? God gave you pastors, evangelists, good Christian friends, the family of God, the Holy Spirit of God? Our world is in a mess because today there are all kinds of glittering fruit hanging low in the forbidden orchards of life. All our kids have got to see is a commercial. And they start nagging their parents. I want to look like that. I want to act like that. I want to dress like that. I want to be like that. How many commercials do you see of Jesus Christ living a holy life? And today, not only our youth, but our marriages and even our adults' lives are messed up because they've lost their God-intended identities in the orchards of lies and fake dreams and fake freedoms. You see, this is what happened to Israel over and over again. They failed the tests and missed the plans that God had for them, and it cost them years in the wilderness. God brought them through and out of Egyptian bondage, and he brought them to Kadesh Barnea just a few days after they crossed the Red Sea. And he wanted to bring them, and he promised, I got a land flowing with milk and honey. And they sent spies, and you know the story, and they had walled cities, and they looked like giants. And they picked up stones, and they were ready to stone Joshua and Caleb. But that was God's plan. And had they obeyed the plan, they wouldn't have wasted 40 years walking around in circles and going to funerals. You will never find your true identity until you find the one who created you. God is looking for a people who are committed to him, who will trust him, obey him, and will show the world the only way into the promised land is God's way. That's why the Bible says in the old, in the new, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Do you know how Christians pray in the forbidden orchards of life? In the shadow of the glittering lights of the world? When they pray for God to give his approval of what they already decided. But there's nothing more seductive than pre-decided prayers. Oh, mommy, he's a doll baby. I got to have him. Oh, the world looks so attractive. I've got to get in it. I've got to enjoy. Look at all the fun. Look at all the commercials. Everybody is just happy. Nobody wants to listen to what God has to say. And when you don't listen to what God has to say, you're going to end up in a lot of drama. And you're not going to find the secret to happiness. I'm closing. Casey, you can come on. How do we give God the steering wheel of our lives? How do we let go and let God? How many people come to Jesus in the New Testament and said, good master, what must I do to follow thee? Oh, I want to follow you. You know, the loaves and the fishes and the miracles. Oh, you're the man for my life. Jesus said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's a cost. There's a cost to overcome this world. There's a cost to live victoriously in this world. And it's a cost that most believers don't want to pay. You've got to know, just by reading this book, how eager God is to guide your life. How very much he wants to speak to you. What Jesus said to Old Testament Israel in tears, he longs to say to us today. Oh, America, America. Oh, Newark, Ohio, Newark. How oft I would have gathered you as a hen does her brood, but you would not. Oh, how much God wants to give us his mind. Show us the way. And all he wants is an opportunity to say to you and me, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now our text says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. When I read this book, and I know that we didn't evolve from an amoeba or come out of the mud, there can be no good reason given why God should not govern our lives. Because no one is as qualified for the control of our lives like God. God has an indisputable right to the government of our lives. And the first reason he's got an absolute entitlement to my life and your life is because he made us. He created us, but he was smart enough and loving enough to create us with eternity in our hearts. That's why when any time someone dies, the body goes back to the earth from whence it came, but the spirit goes back to the God who gave it. You were created with eternity in your heart. Think about it. And secondly, because nobody anywhere loved us like God loved us. For God so loved the world, deity died so that you could be free. So that your spirit, when you die, can go back to the God who gave it and enjoy life eternal. in the presence of God. Thirdly, nobody will be as good to you as God will be. And fourthly, all the motions of the providence that unfolds in our lives have for our ultimate end the good of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. All things work together for good to them that are saved. That doesn't mean the bad things are never going to happen. It just means whether there's good things or bad things going on in your life, God is working it all to an end product. And listen to what he said. For he has the power. No one is as qualified as God. He said, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall have power to be my witnesses. He's already equipped us for what we need. But he's looking for that one whose heart is perfect toward him. Nothing is acted out in the world without God's knowledge. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Nothing goes on in this world, in any dark corner, that God is not aware of. The eyes of the Lord, God sees it all. Nothing escapes his eye. He sees our hearts. He sees your tears. He sees our failures. He sees our weaknesses. He sees our enemies. He sees every need in our lives. And look at his quickness to respond. The eyes of the Lord run. They're running toward you. They're running toward you, and they're running toward you. And God is running to you because when your heart is perfect towards him, he can't wait to get to you. Just like the prodigal wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he woke up and he realized that eating with the hogs was not what he intended, he said, I'll rise and go back to my father's house. And the Bible said while he was yet afar off, the father saw him and ran to him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. You're just a prayer away. You're just a full heart away from God delivering you, from God giving you victory, from God lifting you, encouraging you. Oh, what a God we serve. How in the world can anybody walk away from the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? His eyes run to and fro. The heart that's in trouble, the soul that needs a deliverance, the one who needs encouraged, the one that is heartbroken. He's running in your direction because he wants to save you. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to comfort you. Who's in trouble? Who needs to have a little talk with Jesus this morning? Who needs some encouragement? And look at the extent of God's care. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. There's no country, there's no corner of the earth that you can get into that God will not be listening and looking for your heart. Don't think for a minute God can't find you. Don't think for a minute that when you're in trouble, God's not going to see you. His eyes run to and fro. We are not forgotten. That means his care is repeated. His eyes run to and fro. Oh, here's Brother Tony. Let me take care of him. Let me deliver him. And then he goes over here and looks at somebody else. And then he runs back to Brother Tony and says, "You're doing all right." What a God. His eyes run to and fro to end our running and our aimless wandering. And when God makes a house call, it is to show himself strong. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. I'm telling you this morning, whatever's got you down, whatever's getting the best out of you, whatever's taking your joy away, whatever's taking your peace away, whatever's taking your anxiety away from your happiness, God's got the strength. Paul said, "I can do anything through Christ who strengtheneth me." This world and all the enemies in it are no match for your enemies. Oh, thank God for a God like that. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to counter all the schemes and the plans of the devil to destroy your life. You may be on the verge of temptation. You may be just a moment away from making a decision that'll bring all kinds of demonic activity into your life. But the Lord's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to upset all the plans that the enemy has, to upset all the plans that the world has, to upset all the plans that the flesh wants to have. Thank God for that this morning. There's somebody up there that loves us, church. And maybe I'm speaking to someone. I'm going to tell you something. You think you're going to get away with it? Do you think for a minute you're going to turn your back on God and then buy into all that low-hanging fruit in the orchards of deception? Oh, look at that. Look, she's a knockout. She's a doll baby. Look at the fun they're having. There's nobody in this world having real fun who's turned their back on God. And it's just going to take a matter of time. And you're going to look back and your heart and your life is going to be destroyed. If I were you, I would do something about it right now. I would ask God, take the reins of my life. Lord, I'm in a mess. Lord, here I am. And you just said in your word, your eyes are looking for somebody's heart who is perfect towards you. God, I want to be that heart. I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. My God, people, what's it going to take for some of us to wake up? I don't want to have to read about you in the paper. I don't want my phone to ring in the middle of the night telling me what happened to you. What about your heart? What's it feeling right now? What's it wanting to do right now? I hope you bring that heart of yours down here, even if it's hard. Bring it down here and say, God, I can't change this heart of mine. It's always leaning in the wrong direction. But I want you to know, I want to give it to you. And he's got the strength to turn it around. He's got the strength to defeat the enemy. He's got the strength to deliver you. And that's what God's looking for this morning. Those whose hearts are perfect, that are complete, that are trusting in him. While we sing and you stand, are there any that would like to bring that little heart of yours down here and ask God to have his way? God bless you. God bless you, Daryl. Anybody else need to pray? Come on, the altars are open. We're going to sing.
Page 127.
You've been a great audience.
Page 127. Would you flee from sin? Let me just say this.
I feel an unction from the Holy Spirit right now to warn some of you. And I don't ever do this. You can ask this church. But this is your moment. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God wants to deliver some folks this morning. God wants to show you his strength. And he's got a much better plan than what the devil is laying out for you. You come on down here and don't be ashamed. Let God have his way with you. God bless you.